guys.
Hey, check it out. Nerdtacular.com is live. There are tickets available for the big event. It's happening in July, the weekend of the 4th. And you, dear listener, are encouraged to come. Who's going to be there? Well, I will, of course. Tom Merritt, Veronica Belmont, Brian Ibbett, Brian Dunaway, Randy Jordan, Justin Robert Young, Brian Brushwood. I'm running out of names. The Spags, Steven Schleicher, the Major Spoilers crew, some cartoonists and stuff, and a bunch of other people we haven't even announced yet. Oh, yeah, the guys that host The Instance with me. And you. That's who's coming to Nerdtacular. Sign up now at nerdtacular.com, and tickets are going fast. Well over half of them are gone. If you want in, you got to get in now. And come join us at beautiful, sunny Snowbird Resort right here in Salt Lake City, Utah, July 4th weekend in 2014 for Nerdtacular 2014. That's a lot of 2014s. Nerdtacular.com. Tonight on TMS PM, 9 things that are too crazy to believe.
Captain Kirk is in trouble in Middle Earth.
That missing flight might be on China satellite images.
Being tricked into seeing your mom's naked photos.
Gross. Hal Douglas is no more.
Your tweets and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night. PM!
Well, hello, fellow lounge lizards. It's TMS PM.
It's the same strength that you've come to expect from TMS, but it'll help you fall asleep quicker.
And it's at night.
PM!
We know. Hey, Brian, it's me, it's Scott, it's you, Brian, hi.
Oh, hey, Scott, it's me, Brian.
How you doing?
Good, hey, I like that intro, that Nerdtacular intro.
Yeah, it's exciting, it's coming up soon, and I got to get more official with things, because no longer can I laze about and not properly promote things and get people excited.
Right. So, I do have one question, though.
Yeah, what's that?
Is the local beautician college going to be mad that you borrowed their music for the background?
That's totally not where that comes from, but I can see the similarities. Actually, I can give credit where credit is due. It's an old theme to the original Diner Dash game. Do you remember that game?
Yes, I totally remember that.
From Diner Dash, of all things.
Just seemed appropriate. That makes it even better. That's even better.
Seemed to somehow fit. Welcome back to TMS PM, everybody. The nighttime edition, the 5th episode of TMS. The morning stream, that's usually in the morning, but it's at night.
Except for this week. It's the 4th.
Oh, yeah. Normally, yeah. That's right. You make a good point. So usually we have, you know, a normal show on Thursday morning, but things got weird this morning. My wife's still out of town. I had to run people different places. There was a client thing. It all kind of got crazy and out of control. And in the end, I stand before you now a little ragged for the wear. Is that a phrase? Ragged for the wear?
Okay. Worse for the wear.
Worse for the wear is what I meant. Yep. But I'm fine. I'm fed. I just ate. I pigged out at a local Chick-fil-A, mm-hmm. where they have the chicken. Lots of chicken.
Hence the name. Yeah.
Yeah. The chick part. It's not just ladies. It's not like a pejorative lady term.
Would that be the opposite of a meat market?
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A.
I guess a white meat market.
Man, I went to that beautician college, and it was a total Chick-fil-A.
A white Chick-fil-A. Get it right. So here we are doing the show at night anyway. I mean, that's what we commit to do anyway on a Thursday. So we weren't going to let that fall to the wayside like some things do.
Get out and do things. Play games, golf, tennis, swim, and ride.
And record a show.
And record a show.
Yeah.
She almost said that, but you cut her off.
I didn't mean to. Sorry, lady who came from the 40s is probably dead now. So you've heard about Nerdtacular and you've heard about Patreon, but I'd like to point people to Patreon one more time. The reason we get to do this show tonight and from henceforth and forever is because you guys hit a very special goal on the patreon.com/TMS page. And because of that, we're here. We're doing it. We're doing it live. People listening live, hello. And somebody asked me the other day, what's the best way to know that you guys are live? I say, do you use Twitter? They say, yeah. Then follow the Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
It's a morning stream. There's no the in front of it. It's just morning stream. Get it straight. Put it in. Follow it. And we'll pop up and say, hey, we're going live. You can listen to the audio stream from Alpha Geek Radio. You can listen to the listen and watch the video version on twitch.tv, which we pull in and embed right there at frogpants.com/live. And it's every Thursday night at 5:30 Mountain.
As a matter of fact, you could even follow Alpha Geek Radio. You get a notification there. You can follow the Twitch page, like subscribe to the Twitch page, and you get a notification every time you go live. So many ways. Many ways.
I feel like people are out of excuses to say they can't listen live. You have all the...
They're really... Yeah. It's really, oh, I didn't have a chance to go pick up a card, but happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday anyway, yeah. Suckers.
Not a Walgreens between your house and mine? What?
ABS, come on.
Yeah, or CVS.
CVS. Would I say ABS? That wouldn't be correct at all. Nobody's getting there.
You're combining ABC and CVS, because there is an ABC.
There is?
Yeah, ABC stores. They're all over Hawaii and in Las Vegas now. It's basically a CVS, but it's ABC.
ABC. Who has the AM, PM? Who's that?
Who has it?
Yeah. What part of the country do I have to go in where I can go to an AM, PM?
Basically east of here. East of Colorado has AM, PM.
All right. I could have sworn I saw one in Vegas, but maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Oh, there might be one in Vegas, but I know there was people who lived east of me who had to send me those elusive World of Warcraft Slurpee cups a few years ago.
Very elusive. Yes. And it's also important. I didn't say it right. It's AM.
PM!
All right.
Always comes back to Fletcher.
Brian, let's start things off with 9 facts that you will not believe. These are almost too ridiculous to believe, but yet they're true somehow.
Oh, cool.
Now, I haven't done any research. I didn't have any of our interns go and do any kind of direct comparison to what is available on, say, Snopes.com or other debunking websites. You're just going to have to take my word for that these being true until you do the research yourselves, dear listener. So I'm about to...
Send your emails.
Yeah, exactly. So here's an interesting thing. I'd heard this when I was a kid and I didn't believe it. Cotton candy was invented by a dentist.
Oh, really?
This is true. Dentist William J. Morrison invented the modern cotton candy machine in 1897 along with a candy maker in Nashville named John C. Wharton. These are the best 1800s names. William J. Morrison and John C. Wharton. If those aren't
Professor
dudes,
Wharton.
If those aren't guys that tried to go west, didn't really like the mining country and came back east to make their millions, then I don't know what does.
I'm going to spin sugar into candy floss.
I'll need some money, some backing. Why don't you talk to John C. Wharton? He's up north.
Exactly. Originally, the sugary candy was called fairy floss. Good Lord.
Wonder why that didn't take.
Yeah, I wonder why that's not still being called that. Yeah. I wonder why my shoes are flip-flops and not thongs anymore. I don't know. The name cotton candy ended up being popular in the 1920s. No word on how his invention impacted the dental practice itself. So if it was real popular, then perhaps it helped. He was playing this game at both ends is what he was doing. Little cotton candy, little dental work, getting paid twice.
Interesting. Wow. Did he have to revoke his dental license? Like, did he?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, John C. Wharton didn't care. He was already making candy. Mm-hmm. He was already a toothless gum showing whatever.
With a handlebar mustache, I'm guessing.
That's right. And he put his fists up like this. And he would go to fisticuffs. He can't see me. But yeah, he fists up like this. Chat room can see me.
Yeah.
A man got a spider tattoo on his face. Yeah. Yeah, you'll see. It'll catch up. A man got a spider tattoo on his face because he was terrified of spiders. That makes sense, right? You don't like spiders? You put that on here. It's like Brian getting a can of thickened milk, like thickened liquid milk on his face because he's so terrified of it, he'll go ahead and tattoo that on his head. This is true. Dude in Florida did it.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. How about this one? McGruff, the crime dog, was arrested after drug-sniffing dogs found his supply of illicit drugs and weapons. This is true.
What?
Yep.
Was it a guy in a mascot costume?
Yeah.
McGruff, the crime dog, is a cartoon.
Yeah,
he's a figment.
He's a figment of our imagination. And of our nation's attempt to stomp out drugs.
That's right.
This was an actor who used to travel to schools as McGruff the crime dog. He was sentenced to 16 years in prison after 1,000 marijuana plants and 27 weapons, including a grenade launcher, were found in his home.
Nice.
Drug sniffing dogs initially detected the possession of marijuana. So yes, McGruff, a dude what dressed as McGruff the crime dog and encouraged kids to snuff out crime or whatever. What was his thing? Don't be a turd. Don't pollute.
Take a bite out of crime.
Take a bite out of crime. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. He was great frontman, by the way, for Sugar Ray McGruff.
Whatever happened to him?
You know he's got talent.
Yeah, he's got talent. All right, here's one. We don't know exactly when the modern fire hydrant was invented because the patent was lost in a fire. This is true. This is great.
Really? Okay.
The contemporary fire hydrant designed like a pillar is believed to be invented around 1801 by Frederick Graff. Again, great name. Unfortunately, this was never verifiable, since legend has it the invention's patent was lost in a fire in Washington, D.C., patent office in 1836. This patent office went up in flames, according to the Great Columbus Experiment of 1908, waterworks that changed the world. So that guy got screwed.
No kidding. Wow. Wouldn't really be that hard to come up with a blueprint, though, to like retro, to make it after the fact.
Here's my favorite one.
Okay.
Sarah Palin's book, Against the Commercialization of Christmas, came out just in time to make money on Christmas. Of course it did.
Well, it's so easily, indisputable. Like, how could someone think that that's just too ridiculous to be true? Oh, it was released in November? Okay.
Yeah. The way this should have worked was, if she wanted to just have everybody quit commercializing Christmas, it should have been a free thing that you give away. Sure, go ahead and give it away at Christmas. But I never buy anybody's books if you make a book about a dragon and a warrior and it's cool, I will buy your book. I'm buying entertainment. I know what's on offer. I know what I'm getting for my money. If you make a book that says you need to, it's like some altruistic sort of, here's an awesome way to change your life kind of thing.
Right.
I don't believe that ever, because they all are making money on the notion of helping me personally. No, I'm not interested. I plain old say no. I don't want books on diets. I don't want books on any of that crap. I might buy a book to help me learn how to program in a certain language, because again, you're getting what you pay for. In this case, stop the commercialization of Christmas by buying my book during Christmas.
Free gift wrapping at Macy's.
Oh my gosh, that really bothers me. Anyway, so there's that. And you know what? If you like Sarah Palin, keep it to yourself, okay? Like, even my good buddy Kurt Schilling thinks the world of her, and he takes crap from me. So if Kurt Schilling's going to take crap from little old me, so are you.
Yeah.
How about this one? An employee at a stress ball factory reacted to getting let go by punching his boss. That's great.
Now how verifiable is this?
I don't know.
Is there like a news article or...
Well, according to this, and there's a link
an
here.
An assault report? There would have to be an assault report for me to say, okay, I believe it, like a police report.
Here it is. Darren Baldwin, stress ball packer, allegedly punched his boss in the face after he was laid off. All right. So this was a story carried by the Daily Mirror. There were prosecutors involved. He actually went to court for it. So there's some verifiable stuff. The thing is, it's ironic in all the right ways, but it's not like an employee can be expected not to to go in there, like, say, a frustrated guy who's going to get pissed at the moment's notice. And then, I'm surrounded by these stress balls. I feel great now. It doesn't work that way.
No, he's like, you're fired. Okay, grab one. Squeeze. Okay, good.
Count to 10. Oh, I'm not going to punch my boss or shoot that lady anymore. I feel much better.
Right.
I never think those things work anyway. They're crap.
No.
All right, here's a good one. McDonald's told its employees to avoid fast food.
Mm.
That's a real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. The showing of Catching Fire was evacuated because the movie theater almost caught fire. That's just ironic. That's just bad timing.
Sure.
Founder of Match.com's girlfriend dumped him for another man she met on Match.com. True.
That's awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
Hey, Alanis, right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Take that. So enjoy that. Let's get to the news.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the evening news, brought to you by
the Frog Pants U t-shirt at /loot.com.
I got mine today.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm real happy with it. You should see this thing. It's good.
I don't have it on right now. Sure, I'll get one soon.
I need to work out and then shower. And then, and only then, will Scott put on his shirt.
Hey, David Michael. Hey, sales geek.
Hey, help a guy out, Dave.
Help a brother out.
I mean, it's even...
You know what? I don't expect to get every single thing that comes out of Frog Pants.
Yeah, but they got to run tests, Like, they have to run a run of shirts to just make sure everything's working. Yeah. Why not make one that's at double X and just send it to you?
I don't need a double X, thanks.
Oh, what are you at? Are you just extra large?
I'm just XL.
Oh, look at you and me, the same now. I used to be double X.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been bigger than an XL. I'm just, you're tall though.
Yeah, this is a height problem. Because if I start, they have tall versions of shirts in some places, but they're super hard. They're kind of hard to get and you pay more for them.
Yeah.
So I've always had to go extra large just to keep the length right. But now that I can wear just an XL, I'm good.
Nice. Very nice.
Chris Pine.
Mm-hmm.
Films Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk, yeah. Right.
Son of the dude who ran the chips department on chips. Chris Pine, charged with drunken driving in New Zealand. Oh, another one bites the dust, man.
There you go, folks. You get Arrest a Trek Nerd right there.
Hollywood actor and giant forehead man, Chris Pine, known for playing Captain Kirk in the Star Trek movies, has been charged with drunken driving in New Zealand. 33-year-old American actor is due to make his first court appearance in the case on Monday, court officials said Wednesday. New Zealand police said in a statement the 33-year-old American was charged March 1st with driving with a blood alcohol level of over the legal limit, which in New Zealand is 0.08%. What is it here? Do we know this? I don't know what it is here. Is it 1.8? What is it? Legal?
I honestly don't know what the legal limit here is.
Alcohol limit. All right. And I think it goes by state, but here in Utah, let's say, I'm just going to look this up real quick. How much do you have to drink? Okay, here in Utah, if you're 21 and older, 0.08, so same. Mm. Under 21, zero tolerance. In a commercial, what does that mean, commercial? 21 or older or commercial? Oh, whatever.
At work?
Maybe at work while you're at work?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just filing this stuff for Mr. Wachowski over here. Feeling a little tipsy.
Oh, no, I work at the Whiskey Tasting Factory.
Oh, no.
What a conundrum.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, that's interesting. We have the same limit. I'm sure it ranges. I'm sure it's higher in like Nevada. I'm sure there are other places where it is higher, but it's interesting to know that we're the same as New Zealand. I feel like a hobbit now. Let's see here. He was driving around early in the morning near South Island town in Methven.
Methven.
Where are you going to get your meth? Oh, over to the Methven. They park over there. Sounds like meth van, right?
It does, yeah.
Brit, you want some meth? All right. Let's see. The police did not name the man, but it came out. Pine's agent and publicist could not be reached for comment. Pine has been in New Zealand filming a movie called Z for Zachariah, which is due for release next year. Much of the film has been taking place in the South Island's picturesque Banks, Peninsula. Do you say peninsula or peninsula?
Peninsula.
Good, you're right. You and I are right, and people who say it the other way piss me off.
They're wrong. They don't say what his limit, like where, how far over the legal limit he was, right?
I mean, no, they don't. They don't get specific.
This could be like such a minor thing. It's like, oh, we'll pull him over. It's Chris Pond. Let's get him in the pipe. Is he?
Yeah. I saw him in that train movie. They say. so that's bad for him. Missing Malaysian Airlines flight, this thing that poofed off the radar and nobody knows where this plane is. Mm-hmm. Still pretty weird. I think it happened, didn't it, last week while we were talking? I'm pretty sure.
Yes. Yeah, it was a week ago, exactly.
A week ago today. Mm-hmm. They may have now found some images on Chinese satellites that show debris in the water. According to the network, the images were distributed by China's State Administration for Science, Technology, and Industry for National Defense. That's a long, what's your acronym there?
CSASTIND.
That's bad. That's too long.
CSASTIND.
Yeah. Shorten that up, China. Come on. They were captured. Let's see. These images were captured on March 9th, one day after the plane went missing. Three images appear to show white objects floating in the water. Coordinates released by the images or with the images place the objects near the sea between Malaysia and Vietnam. According to BBC, Guardian notes that the site appearing on the images is located not far from the last confirmed radar contact with the plane in question. This is Malaysian Airlines flight MH370. I have a niece in Malaysia right now. Kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Wow.
And a sister who's going to fly down there to pick her up. Went missing on Saturday after taking off from the airport in Kuala Lumpur. I never say that right. It's not Kalua.
Kuala Lumpur.
I never say it right. Kuala Lumpur. Isn't that where that lady's always at doing reports?
Sylvia Pagioli.
Yeah, Sylvia. This is Sylvia Pagioli. She's always there.
The Patronus towers, right? The two big towers that Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones had to crawl across in Entrapment.
Oh, Entrapment! Right. Yes, I was thinking of the two towers that Harry Potter would generate when he would yell the Patronus spell. Something like that. There were 239 people on board. I don't like that.
Wow.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just such a crummy thing for those people whose family were on there. You know, I mean, they don't get any sort of closure until they find this thing.
Yeah, I don't, and they still don't know what happened. They don't know if those two people with stolen passports had anything to do with it or not. Like, this is this the weirdest mystery thing, and they got to find that black box and see what's going on. Boeing 777, that's a big ass plane. And it's probably out there in the water. So they're going to track it down. My guess is within the next 4 or 5 days, we're going to know what's going on with that thing. Julie Ottaviani. If you're here, you're family. tricked a teen into seeing his own mother's nude photos.
Oh, my God. That's just horrible.
A Pennsylvania woman. She's from Pennsylvania.
You can tell by the name Ottaviani.
Come into my home. Looking to exact revenge on her husband's This woman, Pennsylvania woman, looking to exact revenge on her husband.
Should be a comma.
But it didn't. Thanks, Huffington Post. stole nude photos of the man's stole nude photos of the man's girlfriend, posting them on Facebook, and tricked the woman's teenage son into looking at them. So here comes the fun part. Ottaviani, age 54, appeared to strike a reporter as she left the magistrate's office on Tuesday. Reporter Bill Waddell, with some station, asked questions related to the case. On the video, she can be seen trying to take the reporter's microphone before striking him in the face with her purse. Nice. Let's see. She had just minutes earlier pleaded guilty to charges of corruption of minors and criminal use of a computer. The irate wife. Irate wife. That's not a power name. It's not a hero name, is it? Okay. Bridge too far. admitted to hacking into her estranged husband's computer, where she saw and stole naked photos of the man's alleged girlfriend. Where's the part about the kid getting tricked?
So it's a,
you know
it's
what
weird.
You know what Huffington Post does sometimes? They sometimes repeat the headline 60 times in the first three paragraphs of the article. You notice that?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you were saying.
It's really weird. So he... Okay, so woman... Married to this guy.
Yeah.
He's got, I guess, a girl on the side that he's got a child with.
Yeah.
A teenage son with. Has nude photos of his girlfriend on his phone. She gets the pictures, puts them on Facebook, and makes the teenage son look at them.
Yeah, and she did it by friending him. So it says here, she created a fake Facebook profile where she posted these images of the naked woman, which I don't think you can do on Facebook, but whatever. Don't they just kill that immediately on Facebook?
Yeah, I don't think, exactly.
I've seen shots where a brand new baby is being held by its mother. No one's naked at all, and they'll still can those photos because somebody said it was NSFW, but whatever.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, not safe for work is faster than NSFW.
That's right.
We determined that earlier in the week. She then added the woman's 14-year-old teenage son as a friend to this fake account. He accepted the request, clicked the profile, saw the photos of the naked mom. So, yes, her evil plan worked. Good job, lady.
Man.
54 and still
she
kicking.
Would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for the Huffington Post and their confusing article.
Bill, we got 5 more paragraphs to fill. What do you think we ought to do? How about repeat the title 6 more times?
And take out all the commas. Woo!
Brilliant. Finally, before we take a break here, we got sad news, but a great career. So it's worth celebrating. We're going to hear a little bit of it as well. Voiceover superstar Hal Douglas, dead at age 89.
Aww.
That's a long life. Now, you say to yourself, Hal Douglas, who is that? I don't know who that is. He is one of the entertainment world's most recognizable voices. Husky baritone, heard in thousands of movie theaters or on TV promo spots. This all belonged to voiceover artist Hal Douglas, a superstar in his industry. I mean, it was him. And who was the guy before? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What was that guy's first name?
I'm trying to remember. Don LaFontaine, right.
Yep.
In a world, like whenever you hear in a world,
yep,
that's the Don LaFontaine. Yep.
Once in a while, it's this other guy too. They seem to share a lot. In fact, I think there was a fair number of people who were confused. Like they weren't sure who was who, but
well, you have a clip, right?
Yeah, I got some clips. Let's play it.
Let's hear him.
He died in Lovettsville, Virginia. That's where John Lovitz reigns as king and overseer.
Yep.
On March 7th.
That's the ticket.
That's the ticket. I sent you some tonight. You got to hear, by the way. It's John Lovitz interviewing Gary Busey on stage.
Oh, God, really?
It is
one of the most
sublime experiences of my life. It's on Lovitz's podcast. You have to hear it. It's great.
Oh, yeah, I'd love that.
Heard it earlier today and I sent you a link. Anyway, died on March 7th from complications of pancreatic cancer. That thing's the bugger. But I guess if you're 89, it's not that bad. His daughter, Sarah Douglas, told the New York Times he was 89. All right, here you go. Here's some clips. We'll do the little demo reeling in here, just some of the stuff he's known for. So here you go, right here.
Hal Douglas. Never before has the reality of the ultimate sacrifice hit so close to home.
At our house, he is the known soldier, and we're proud to know him.
A Seventh Heaven landmark event on the WB Monday. A story this big can only be told on the world's largest screens. An IMAX experience. Michael Jordan to the max. Up close, some heroes get even bigger. It's a...
You see, you know the voice.
Wow. Yeah, totally.
It's intense.
And I think I'd count me among the people maybe who got him confused with Don LaFontaine.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
Yeah. Do we have any Don? Like, can we pull up a Don LaFontaine clip?
I'm sure we can. Let's pull one up right now. Don LaFontaine. Here we go. Let's just do a trailer mashup. Here you go.
Okay.
This will work. He died
in
the
world. In the year 2017. In a time of tradition, in a city where anything can happen.
Yeah, very similar.
Wow, I would...
Mother's Day yesterday.
Did she
say... Yeah, very similar.
I would maybe say that whoever put that YouTube mashup clip together might even have some Al Douglas in there, actually. unless there's maybe video of Ray LaFontaine actually doing the voice.
No, I'm, you're right. You make a good point. They are very similar, and they've been noted as such, and they were friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Here's the trailer. I'm going to play this. It's only a minute long, and it's worth playing.
Okay.
It's the trailer for the Jerry Seinfeld documentary called Comedian. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't all that great. It was okay.
Ironic name just posted about it.
Yeah, yeah. So he was he was in that trailer and was kind of famous for this trailer. So I'm going to play this. It's really funny. So check it out. Coming. Rated R. Got it. Preview. Got it. Miramax. Here we go. All right. It's him walking into a booth. Just to give a little visual here.
Okay.
Sits down. He's in a jacket. Just like a normal guy. Probably in his early 70s here. 60s maybe. All right. Puts his glasses on. Headphones on.
Oh. Whoa. Feedback.
There you go.
All right. Let's try this.
This is the voiceover for a Comedian movie trailer. Take one.
In a world where laughter was king.
No, in a world, Jack.
What do you mean, no, in a world?
It's not that kind of movie.
Oh? Okay. In a land that...
No, in a land either.
In a time...
No, I don't think so.
In a land before time...
It's about a comedian, Jack.
One man...
No.
When your life is no longer your own...
What does that mean?
When everything you know is wrong...
That's wrong.
In an outpost...
No.
On the edge of space...
No space.
A girl...
No.
Two girls...
No.
Now...
No.
More than ever...
Stop it.
A renegade cop...
I hate you.
A robot renegade cop...
You're fired.
You're fired.
No, you're actually fired.
I'm fired.
Get out of the booth, Jack.
No... I like it in here.
I don't know why they called him. They called him Jack. It's not his name. Isn't Jack? It's Hal. But whatever.
Yeah.
Very funny, and it's worth seeing if you haven't seen that. It's very funny.
That's really good. That's really, really funny.
Seeing his face and stuff. So then back to LaFontaine.
War that isn't his. Every day in New York City on the Miami Police Force.
I'm not sure they didn't mix him up too, dude.
I think so. That sounds like Hal.
Here he is talking on a camera. Hold on. Here you go. Okay, here's him on a camera, okay? We're going to just compare these two here. Some lady
Now
first.
We venture out to Hollywood.
Not the dude.
Okay. LaFontaine.
Okay.
Did you hear that? Anyway, and commercials. Let's see where Don LaFontaine creates his magic.
Okay.
We're downstairs.
Oh, gosh.
Don, be fine. Really feel good.
This fall, the creative team behind 24 take...
He's... They're it's so real close. Isn't that freaky?
You're right to go out to dinner with the two of them. Well, if you could have gone out to dinner with the two of them before they passed away.
But amazing, except you never know.
No, I ordered the veal.
Who had the mac and cheese? I swear you said it. Oh, that's brilliant. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Twitter time. We love Twitter time. Can't wait to bring that to you guys again this week. Lots of good feedback. There's lots of good feedback about
it. Lots of good feedback.
And we'll take your tweets, which we've been doing all day, and we'll talk a little bit about that, some other fun stuff. Before all that, let's take a break. What do you got?
I have a request. This one going out to, I believe it's to Flyrissa. This is really weird, but it's cut off the bottom of her email. Let's see here. Dear Brian, it thrilled me when I listened to the film sack for Fright Night and found out you were a fan of Sparks, not to mention extremely jealous you met them. I'm a huge fan of Sparks as well. Every day I strive to stay focused on positivity and hope, which encourages me to look forward to eventually meeting someone special as wonderful as so many of the people I see every day in the Frog Pants community. In the spirit of happiness, love, and friendship, I would like to request Sparks' cover of I Want to Hold Your Hand and dedicate it to the whole of the Tadpool and Frog Pants community at large. If you need an alternate or prefer one, I'd be happy with a good cover of a Sparks song, including them covering their own songs. Blah, blah, blah. Thank you times 10 to the billionth for working so hard to bring the magic of music to so many. Teddy Hearted. And then it cuts off, but I'm pretty sure it was Flyriss. I don't know why it's cutting off in my email here. That's weird. Really bizarre.
Yeah.
There it is. Larissa P. Flyrissa on Twitter and in the Tadpool. If you narrow your window while you've got airmail open, it cuts off the bottom of the email. Good to know.
Yeah. Thanks, Google.
Well, I'm not going to play the I Want to Hold Your Hand cover because I thought this one might be just as fun. It is a cover of Sparks, so I am satisfying the second request in her email. Right. This is Martin Gore, who you'll recognize as one of the voices of the band Depeche Mode, from his 1989 Counterfeit EP. It's a cover of Sparks' Never Turn Your Back on Mother Earth.
Is he the guy that goes, the sweetest perfection? That's him, right?
I think so, yeah. And he does the whole somebody. Yeah. I want somebody to say.
I like him.
Yeah, I do too.
Great alternate thing going on there, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And a weird looking dude.
Yeah, really weird looking dude. All right, well, here it is. Never Turn Your Back on Mother Earth. When we come back, your tweets and more. Stay tuned.
When she's on her best behavior, don't be tempted by her favors. Never turn your back on Mother Earth. Towns are held from A to B by hands that look so smooth.
Go Martin Gore doing what he does best, being the creepy one.
That's right. Comb your hair once in a while, Martin.
You damned hippie. That's awesome. Really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Got a tweet during the show. It says the following. I want you to hear this. Okay. This involves you.
Okay. All right.
Here we go. His name's Ryan. Says, I'm the fan that thinks TMS is at its best when Scott Johnson and Justin Robert Young disagree, but only when Coverville keeps them grounded. Sadly, I agree with Jury a lot, though. It's the problem. Yeah. It's not like a Jury comes on for argumentative reasons. It's not like, you know, we just know there's going to be some great content because I disagree with Jury a lot.
Right, right.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, I wish I would have listened. I wish I would have watched that whole Bieber thing before we started talking about him about it with Jury on Tuesday, because I think I'm more of the opinion that it's a douchey situation,
right,
to be sure.
Right.
But he's still. He's still the biggest douche in the room.
If you're going to do a douche meter and see who's the biggest douche in the room, he wins time.
Yeah.
Not you, Nick. Nick just walked here. I'm not talking about you, bud. It had to be bad timing. Yeah, you brought it.
He's the biggest douche in the room. Yeah. Well, hi, Nick.
Oh, hey, buddy. What are you making? Are you making a movie?
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, we're screwed. Okay, well, have fun.
Let's see. Is he doing the making of TMSPM?
He is doing. No, he's making. His mother, when she left town, she left me little bags with little treats in them for each day she was gone for the kids. All right. So one of them is a bag.
Portioned out, like.
Yeah. Like it's a little bag with a note on it that says, Carter, clean your room. And here are some nice mints or something or whatever it was. Right. So it was like a reminder to get some job done they promised to do while she was gone, and a nice little treat. Well, his was a miniature, but pretty good replica of a Space Invaders coin operated video game cabinet. Okay. And inside of it are a bunch of candies shaped like Space Invaders, and you eat them.
Right, I've got those.
Yeah, you probably have some, have seen them or whatever. They have Pac-Man and other ones.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to collect them all. After getting that, he's got this in his head now. He wants to collect them all. He has built a small box that it's going to be like a diorama type thing.
Yeah.
He's going to carpet it. He's going to put all the machines in there like a mini arcade, have a change machine. If he has to make it himself, he will. And he's going to make it so he has his own little personal arcade in a box.
Oh, that's so awesome.
So that's what he's doing right now.
Do they make more? Because the only two I've ever seen are the Pac-Man and the Space Invaders.
Yeah, that's the only two I've seen as well. So I said, are there more? And he says he's sure he's seen others. So I don't know what that means. Good.
Well, make sure that he, you know, takes little bits of gum and mm-hmm. grinds them into the carpet. And
I mean, this kind of thing makes me want to build stuff out of like balsa wood and paint it to be like an old arcade.
Sure.
I don't have time for that stuff anymore, though. I can't do that. What hours do I have to spend on such a thing?
Yeah.
Maybe I should. Can't play Towerfall all day after all. That game's really good, by the way. You should get it on
Towerfall.
PS4, yeah. You should get it.
Oh, that's the, like, it's like an endless faller as opposed to an endless runner, right?
No, you don't. Not at all. In fact, it's more like, what do you compare it to? It's like Super Smash Brothers, but better, in my opinion.
Oh, really?
And you and Tristan, two controllers on a couch. I'm not sure you'll ever have as much fun as that doing anything else. It's absolutely the funnest thing we're doing right now. It's really,
excellent.
Really
all right. Is it a free PlayStation Plus download?
Sadly, no, but it's only $15.
Oh, 15. I can.
You can manage it.
I can justify that.
Yeah,
sure.
You can justify anything if you look hard enough. Go for it.
That's right.
Let's get to Twitter time.
All right.
And we got a theme for it. You ready? It's a multi-part theme. Here we go.
Ooh, I love it. All right.
Yeah, all right. Here we go. So we go.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
The newest tweet.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
Yep. Let's do tweeters. Twitters. Twitters. Nice. So it's Twitter time. That's where you guys send us your tweets. It's all brought to you by
FilmSec, the podcast for movie lovers and haters. This weekend, Congo. Subscribe at FilmSec.com.
All right. That's a good idea. That's what we're watching this weekend.
I've not seen it yet.
There's a rumor floating. No, I haven't either. Oh, that's great. I like it when we haven't seen it.
Well, I saw it as a kid, but I mean, I saw it in the 90s or whenever the hell it came out.
I still think of the early 90s as being a kid, even though I wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we were in our 20s, but it felt like our kids. It felt like kids to me. That'll be this weekend. Watch for that. Man arrested after allegedly pledging to shoot a passerby for 100 tweets. I want to mention the story before we get to your actual tweets. 20-year-old Los Angeles man. Los Angeles man.
Los Angeles man.
What's his power?
Afraid to ride the bus because he saw that movie with Danny Trejo.
That's a bad power.
It's a fear power, actually. It's the power of fear. Excelsior!
Okay, oh, now it's fine. Now it's fine. There we go. So he has been arrested. He's 20 years old and has been arrested after he allegedly threatened to shoot somebody walking down the street in exchange for 100 retweets on Twitter. Retweets on Twitter.
Well, can I do another one?
Yeah.
Able to breathe any kind of air, no matter how many pollutants are in there.
Only one that can beat him is Chinaman. Because their air is worse.
That's right. Okay. As you were.
According to the LAPD, and the Times, they report the man, Dakari Dejan McGainiff. Am I saying that right? Dakari Dejan?
Dakari Dejan. I love that. His middle name is Dejan.
McGainiff.
McEnough.
McEnough. Really? That's a terrible name.
That's what I would, that's how I would pronounce it, as McEnough.
Yeah. It was Colonel
Are
Mustard.
Are you McEnough?
He posted a photo on Twitter showing a rifle pointed out in the street with a caption, 100 retweets and I'll shoot somebody walking by. And they arrested him, and you're a douche, Mr. Dude. You're an idiot for doing that. Jeez. What a fool. What an idiot. First of all, you're doing it, you're publicly, tweets are public, always.
Right.
Always public.
You will be found.
Yeah, you can't private message somebody if they don't follow you and say, hey, retweet me 100 times. It doesn't work that way. It's all public, you idiot. Mm-hmm. So with that, let's read some tweets. Got one here from Billy Bob 476. Do either of you enjoy camping? If so, where?
Like, I'm going to tell Billy Bob.
I may not tell you where, but I will tell you if, and I can tell you, I do not enjoy camping. I'm not a camping fan.
Camping for me is the Days Inn.
Yeah. That's what I do usually. We'll go to like a family hoo-ha thing, and I'm either bringing the biggest mattress that you can blow up, or I'm staying a night in some hotel somewhere. I'm lousy at it.
Yeah, exactly. It's too easy these days to get from a nice hotel to the outdoors. Mm-hmm. So why stay in the outdoors?
Right. And I know it sounds lazy and unadventurous and all of that, but I did my time. Growing up, we were camping all the time. My dad took us camping every other weekend. I had scouts. I was doing Uinta hikes where 7 days with a tiny backpack, hardly any beef jerky, and a terrible tent with leaks in it. I've done it. I've been there. Yeah. I don't need to do it anymore. I got nothing to prove. Comes with age. If you were Dr. Sam, but if I was going to recommend where to camp, I would say anywhere in Moab.
Yeah, right.
It's freaking beautiful. Arches National Park. Uintas are pretty nice if you want to really rough it. But I would say, I don't know, anything in the Red Rock country of the fine state I live in, that's where I would go. And if you want to go see Brian, you can camp in Green River and then just hop over the border.
That's right, exactly.
Get some sushi, you're all set. Perfect. If you were Dr. Sam Beckett from Quantum Leap, asks Shifty B, but could only choose one person to leap into and help or whatever, who would it be? So we get to pick who we want to be.
They did have the celebrities on Quantum Leap.
Yeah, they did.
I'll go first on this one.
Okay.
I would leap into the aforementioned Justin Bieber.
You know, that's not bad.
And, be cool.
Be the Beeb.
Act like a normal human being for a couple days, and not this always on display swaggy little douche nugget that he is.
I would do. This is going to seem unfair to you, okay?
Okay,
and I don't mean it to.
Because are you going to leap into me?
Bieber. No. You chose. Yeah, I'm going to jump into Bieber while Brian's Bieber and make him do terrible douchey things. No.
Oh, well.
You're going to be Bieber. I'm going to go back and I'm going to be Hitler for a little while.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it at a time before he had signed off on the mass execution of innocent Jews and all the other sort of terrible atrocities that occurred. And I'm going to change the whole face of what that whole thing was and completely change who he was and the outcome of there wouldn't have been a war or a conflict, that we would have receded back from all these nations. And then I would have left him in a place where he had no power anymore once I got out of him. That's what I would do. So not to diminish you wanting to hop into a Canadian pop star. I don't want to make that seem small, but that's where I'm going.
That's so well done.
Well, we both kind of did it from the same point of view. Bieber's been in the news lately. I've been watching Hitler movies. So
we're both making the world a better place, right? Isn't that what Sam Beckett was all about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Gushy, get me Selena Gomez's number.
Whoa. No, I didn't say whoa. That was Joey.
It was
Joey.
Yeah, that was Joey Lawrence.
Joey Lawrence.
Oh boy,
there you go.
Yeah.
I always got those two mixed up. All right. How about this one? That was Shifty B. Thank you for that. Here's one from Tom Scott 90. And he says, what is one thing you would never ever want to eat again? Pickle eggs is mine, says Tom Scott. What would ours be? I mean, I feel like this doesn't have to be just stuff we tested on the show, but you had such an aversion to that thick and liquid.
Yeah, I'm not going to bring up the thick. I mean, I just brought it up, but I'm not going to use that as my answer. But I want you to go first because I've got to think about mine for a second.
All right. If you ate the thick and liquid, you would bring it up, if you know what I mean.
This is true.
Right on the air. All right. I'm going to say Yeah, this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say a batch. I like kimchi generally. Okay, it's good. I like a good batch of kimchi. I like the authentic stuff. My brother makes his own, buries his pot, all that stuff. Like, not his pot. His pot of kimchi.
The pot that kimchi ferments in. Yes,
right, exactly. He'll do the real Korean way, and it's fantastic and amazing and all of that. But he had one batch one time that had been out there too long or had too much of the red stuff put in there or something went wrong. And he opened it up and said, do I want to try it first? And I ate that thing first. And I thought I was going to die on about 50 levels. It was the hottest thing I ever had in my mouth, ever. Mm-hmm. So I was just burning up from that. It tasted terrible. It tasted like hot garbage. Just like, go to a dump. You know that smell at the dump?
Yes.
Just that overwhelming everywhere smell at the dump?
Yes.
That's the what the kimchi tasted like. Not smelled like, tasted like. Smelled fine, which is odd. Mm-hmm. And to make matters worse, there really was something wrong with it. It really was bacterially unsound because I was sick for probably a week and a half because of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So if I could go back and take that one thing back. Now, I'm not off of good kimchi. I still think the good stuff's good. So it didn't ruin me on any of that. But yeah, it's kimchi. And the you know, I could have said chicken hearts because those are gross. I could have said, oh, geez, I had squirrel once that was real bad in Mississippi. I had shark meat once that I don't think was any good. I don't like rhubarb. I mean, there's a million things, but I feel like that kimchi thing was a real episode.
Dog tongue in China, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't want dog tongue again. Maybe that's my answer.
Crap.
No, but that stuff Matt made me sick. The dog tongue at least digested, you know?
Right.
So if I was given the choice, I'd still take the dog tongue over that. Ironically enough, it's always crazy, you know, authentic Asian food that always gives me the most trouble. Not just going down to your fun walk or whoever. It's not the same.
No, very different.
All right, you've been steaming on this. I can't wait to hear yours.
This will surprise you. I would be happy to live my life, however many years I've got left, and never eat a Cadbury cream egg again.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
They're horrible. Oh my God, they're so horrible. If I could eat just the chocolate part and scoop out all the pus inside it, that'd be perfectly fine. But
that's funny.
The thought of eating another Cadbury cream egg just makes me wince right now.
Why is that? That's weird. That seems
weird
to me.
So overly sugary and like I get a headache thinking about it. Huh. Well, Tina loves them too, and I just can't do them.
I like them. It's like I can only probably do one though, and then it's too much. Like I don't want more than that, but. I do enjoy a Cadbury egg. Wow.
It's funny
because it's British, right? Tadpole, isn't it a British thing? And you come from those people? And it's like,
yeah, I come from those people.
Right.
Yeah. That's I love shepherd's pie. Yeah. You know, I love Welsh rabbit, but I'm not going to have another Cadbury cream egg as long as I live.
Where are you on the blood pudding? How do you feel about that?
You know, I've never had blood pudding, but I'd totally try it. I'd totally give it a shot.
Ugh, not me. Can't do it.
Because of the name?
Yeah, it's got blood in it, right? Does it?
Well, yeah, I'm sure it does, but it's not like chocolate pudding. It's more like bread pudding.
I don't want to eat blood, though. I don't want any blood.
How about head cheese? You ever had head cheese?
I want to say I have had head cheese, and I didn't mind it. I remember it was really strong. It may not have been real authentic, though. Somebody, again, in the South gave it to me and called it head cheese.
I think I've had it, too. I can't remember.
I did have somebody's sort of barely semi-cooked boiled chicken. Or no, excuse me. Here's how it worked. She had a crock pot full of oil, and that oil had to be 1,000 years old. Right, it's ready to turn into actual oil.
Right, it's taken on the flavor of every single thing that's passed through it.
Yeah, it makes people millions if you live in the freaking, you know, the Middle East. You could have made $1 million on her pot of oil.
Right,
but this thing the way she would do it, and she was kind of semi-blind, and her name was something Norman. Her last name was Norman. Anyway, sweet little lady, but she would invite us over, and she would put a piece of chicken, raw chicken, into this oil. And she would cook it there, but she didn't really cook it. It was only ever on warm. So it just kind of sat there kind of being warm all night.
Yeah.
And then she'd pull out this wet, not even really warm piece of chicken, still pink and everything, and plop it on your plate and expect you to eat it without really cooking it. And we'd choke some of that down because we just liked her too much. Like she was real sweet and nice and we didn't want to hurt her feelings. But man, I could go without that again. But for me, it's always stuff that was done wrong. I guess that's where my preference is on food I want to avoid is when someone's really screwed it up. Like rhubarb, I don't want that because I've never really had a problem with it. I don't like how it tastes, but I also don't like the fact that that stuff's poisonous unless you cook it right.
Well, it's the stems. The stalks are fine. It's the leaves that are the poisonous part.
Yeah, I got to trust some lady to not put the stems in the pie or the leaves. You know what I mean?
If Tina made one of her strawberry rhubarb crisps, yeah, you'd be fine with that. And okay, you'd be like, this is fantastic because the strawberry cuts the tartness of the rhubarb. And I trust that Tina wouldn't try to poison me.
Yeah.
And
I do like Tina. She'd be all right. She's always been kind to me.
Yeah.
She's not one to,
a bad thing to say.
No, she's not one to screw me over. I think that'd be fine. All right, this next one. I always wanted to hear more about the type of work Scott and Brian do outside of podcasting, as it is rarely mentioned, says Vine Stahl on Twitter. For me, it's an easy answer. I do a bunch of, the artwork should be an obvious one, but maybe some people don't know, but I do a lot of illustration and cartoon work and other sort of artwork design work that translates into things that are much more directly related, like prints that I do or stuff for the shows or things on the store or whatever at frogpants.com/store. But also I do a lot of that for outside clients that no one ever sees any of that online. I don't really show that stuff off. Some of it I can't because I'm under NDA, but I do some work for some Chinese clients, some people in town here, some people around the country, some German people.
Right.
I've done book illustrations for educational systems in Texas, like just all over the place.
I know there's something that takes you out of circulation every day, every Wednesday for a little while.
Yeah, a couple hours anyway. And this morning was kind of part of that. But it's here and there kind of stuff. A lot of just sort of, freelance commissions and things like that. And it used to be a lot more web work and things like that. But I've tried really hard to get away from that because I just found, I didn't think my skills were up to the kind of snuff that would make me bankable in that way. But also man, when you tie your boat to somebody where it's like you and just a client and they want a website, you better just lock in for the long haul because they think that for the measly amount they're paying you for the next 8 years, you need to be there for every update, every support question, every everything. And it never seems like that stuff's ever right enough for people. So I quit doing that. But anyway, that's primary. Oh, and some photography. I do that as well. Never talk about that. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why I don't. But I mean, I've got a nice camera. I've got like all that stuff. I mess around with that stuff all the time. But I end up taking a lot of product shots and people need big banners that show sort of artistic close ups of the things they want to put on display
at Walmart or
something. Yeah. So I'll do a lot of that kind of photography and that. So yeah, that's me. Brian, what are you up to?
I have my toe dipped in a lot of different swimming pools. I mean, basically the job that takes a majority of my day is customer support and assistance for a software company a virtual software company that does sales presentation software, PowerPoint, online presentation management. Mm. That's the boring work.
Yeah, but you do a lot.
My boss is listening.
You do a lot of creative stuff around that, though.
Not for that. Like for that, it's really it's just straight up that. Outside of that, it's a lot of web design stuff. Pete Rose, Gail Sayers, just finished a website for databusinesssystems.com, and they are a company that manages software at schools for parents who want to, prepay for their kids' lunches. So basically you go online, you say, all right, Billy gets $200. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you're using the software that these guys put out, but it's Data Business Systems. And then
DBS.
Just finished one for Import Coachworks. I'm working on, it's a lot of web stuff and HTML advertising.
That's great.
So web work, if we say web work, then
yeah, web
we could
work
probably...
Works. I mean, just basically people ask me, I just sum it up by saying, what do you do now? And I'm like, I draw and I record things. I mean, that's basically the core of what I do now. Now that draw part gets real, diverse and complicated, but that's basically it. So you could say web work and podcasting for Brian.
There we go.
Illustration and whatever. The funny thing is Brian hardly ever talks about this. I'm going to out you a little bit.
Okay.
He's a really good artist. He just doesn't talk about it, and he doesn't show it off very much. You're like my wife. She can draw too, but she doesn't like to show it.
Oh, really?
It.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's really good. She never talks about it, though.
Then Carter had no hope of avoiding it.
Yeah, she was genetically predisposed. Dispositioned. What's the word? Predisposed. Thank you.
Predisposed.
That's the extra. I put a little extra in there. I don't know why. I got one here from, let's see, Blue Axalazzi. Blue Axalazzi.
Blue Axalazzi.
But there's a... Oh, I see. You're right. Yeah, that would be better. What scares you the what scares you the most about the future? What are you most hopeful about in the future? It's technically two questions. Scares me the most, people who get overly dogmatic and paranoid and start to believe in horrible things so hard that they actually contribute to making the horrible thing happen. Whether that be you're a terrorist who is 100% sure that the only way to take care of a problem that's so overwhelming is that you need to go kill people to take care of it. That kind of stuff scares me. I don't like sending my kids into a world where there are people in it who think they are so right that all else should suffer in the name of the rightness of the thing they believe so much in. Mm-hmm. It's the age old thing, you know?
Yeah. And that's very close to kind of my thought, my big fear, which is just how divisive the world has become on a political level. Yeah. And there don't seem to be times when it seems to lessen. It seems like with every election, it just grows and grows and grows. Mm-hmm. And one side is always thinking they're right. And the other side is always thinking they're right. Mm-hmm. And I see that just getting far worse before it gets better.
Yeah. And I realize unification's hard, and that unification sometimes can also mean it's kind of a problem, because then everybody's not questioning and nobody's, it's just, we've taken it too far in this country and I think others. And so globally, it's not even just a national thing for me. It's a global thing where mm-hmm. nobody, people will latch their, they'll hitch their wagon to a certain issue and be immovable from that. And then if you have the right people with the right kind of power and the right kind of base, then it makes for some scary stuff. So that kind of stuff I don't like. I mean, it's just like anything else. I would be, you know, maybe I've been watching too many Hitler movies, but that's basically Hitler's rise to glory. It's the same problem. And enough people buy into it, you get enough people on your side, and pretty soon you're killing people for no reason. And why? Because he really believed in it. He really, really believed he was doing the right thing and the world a favor by wiping out 6 million Jews. He really did. And so did the people working for him. I don't like that. I don't like that that we ever get that far, and we do it often. And this stuff's happening all the time in places we don't see. So that's what bugs me. Thing I'm most hopeful about is generally, on the whole, this seems counter to what I just said, but I feel like we're actually safer, living longer, and healthier than the world full of humans has ever been before. Now, some could dispute that, and there's definitely hot points on that topic, and I know it's not black and white, but for the most part, there does seem to be this effect of people becoming more civilized, people looking into the future more, thinking about, you know, the good of things rather than the bad of things on the whole. And I mean, this is mostly just individuals, not power brokers and a few, you know, people with the most money. I just mean most people are leaning that direction. And I think that's probably a good thing. That's a little vague, I know, but it's the only way I know how to describe it. What do you look forward to in the future, Brian?
I'm looking forward to 2015. I'm looking forward to Disney's Star Wars and Avengers 2.
Yeah. Yep. Batman versus Superman. Oh, man.
Right, I thought I'd bring it back to...
bring it back to what we care about here. I like it. That was a heavy question there, Blue Axalazzi, whatever your name was.
I like that better, actually, Blue Axalazzi.
That's pretty good. All right, here's your last two. This comes from our intern friend, Iceworm. He says, what is the best year in the history of video games? The answer is simple, and it's 1998. Easy. No question. Oh, yeah? Completely unequivocated. Listen to what you got that year. Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
StarCraft. StarCraft 2, or StarCraft Brood War. Both came out the same year. People don't remember when Blizzard did that kind of release schedule. That was the Half-Life year. Half-Life 1 came out. Blew everybody's mind. That was the year we got... The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time on the N64. A huge release that year. Maybe one of the best video games, if not the best video game ever made. Too many others I can't think of right now. But 98. It's all 98. Has to be.
I disagree.
All right, give me.
I'm going to say 1981.
What?
Because you could walk into an arcade and play stuff like Tempest, Asteroids... he didn't say anything about having to be a home game. I remember some of my favorite times in life were just walking into an arcade, the smell, the sound, like you'd hear 14 different video games all buzzing and beeping all at the same time. And you could pick him out. It's like, oh, that's Gorf over there. Or I'm hearing Donkey Kong or whatever. But 1981 and hanging out at the Buzz Arcade here in, or actually the Shooting Star Arcade, actually would be a better one, here in Arvada. And, you know, if I could go back to a year,
yeah,
it'd be hard for me not to choose one, not to choose 1981.
That would be pretty good on a lot of levels for a lot of other reasons. I'm with you there. But I still say 98 was pretty damn strong.
You know, you do bring up compelling points, but hey, there wouldn't have been a 1989 in video games if it weren't for the 1981 of video games.
That's true. Elder Scrolls Adventures Redguard, that was fantastic. Duke Nukem Time to Kill came out. Dune 2000, huge release. Caesar 3, one of my favorite PC games of all time.
Sinistar. Tron. Frogger. Robotron 2084.
Did those all come out that year?
No, I don't think so.
Grim Fandango, everybody. That came out on 98. Golden Nugget 64. All right, now I'm... this list is great, but it's not easy to sift through here.
I wonder if there's one. There's got to be an equivalent list of 1981 arcade games.
Oh, Banjo-Kazooie, Baldur's Gate.
I remember Banjo-Kazooie.
Baldur's Gate, dude.
So is that... So, Nintendo 64 came out that same year?
No, it came out in 96, but that was the year that you got all that.
Like Banjo-Kazooie was almost a release, like a release title, but I guess not.
Way later.
Yeah.
Yeah, good game. Either way, I think we can both agree on each other's choices. I think they're both strong years for sure.
Yes, for sure.
Final question from MIT Plan, MIT Plan. You're invincible for 24 hours with unlimited funds and teleportation. What do you do with your time?
Holy cow.
Yeah,
okay.
This is a rough one. I almost kept this one out and just held it for next week for its own topic. But
yeah, no kidding.
24 hours, unlimited funds and teleportation. Hours. You know what I would do? Well, I say this. I'm not trying to be altruistic here because I'm sure I'd be tempted in some other ways. And I would have a whole lot of fun doing it regardless. Uh-huh. So I would make sure I made time for me. But I think, can I bring somebody with me? Can I take Kim with me, for example? Because I would fly her to all the places we've ever wanted to see.
Yeah.
And then while I'm there, and if it was unlimited funds, I'd bail out nations that are completely in debt. I would give a ton of money to major research organizations around the world. We'd go to Zurich, Germany, or is that Switzerland? Wherever it is. Up there where they're working on like splitting the atom. I'd say, here are $15 billion. Go. Okay, we're going to France and we're going to have some fun. We're going to hang out there. We're going to see all the sites. We're going to do our stuff. But then we're going to give a bunch of money to a giant orphanage that's in France and help a bunch of kids. I feel like I could have fun and sow my oats and spread a little love around and go with my wife if I could do that. Because I don't want to do that with anybody else. That doesn't sound like fun. I'd only want to go with her. So,
well, of course.
I mean, you can come if you want. Brian can come. Brian, Tina, let's go together.
Because I have the unlimited funds and teleportation too. Sure.
That's right. I assume it's the same time. So would you do anything? What would you do differently? What would you
do? I'd learn how to base jump, and I would base jump off of every hotel in Vegas, and then the Eiffel Tower, the Sphinx, any of the other seven wonders of the world you could base jump off of that aren't just like, you know, Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Come on.
Would you just jumper style, like suddenly be at the top and then jump and then teleport out before you hit? Or how would you,
No, I'd want to do the parachute thing so I could enjoy the view on the way down. Like you know, for the Eiffel Tower, I'd want to jump off, pull the chute and just kind of coast down and just check out Paris. And
so the teleportation really only helps you get up there so you're not arrested.
Well, I get from place to place. I'm not going to be able to get to and from all these places in 24 hours on a plane.
Point. Yeah, good point.
So I'm going to have to teleport. Okay, that was awesome. Eiffel Tower. Whoop. All right, I'm at MGM Grand. Whoop. So all right, over at the Sphinx.
So while Brian is sucking on the teat of adrenaline, I will be out spreading money to the poor
that's
and needy.
Right. And helping bail out countries. And that's kind of been the theme of our Twitter questions hasn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. And the Bieber thing, now that you mention it. All right. Yeah. There you go. That's your tweets. Thank you guys for sending those. You can send more of them each and every day, all the time. We particularly on Thursdays kind of gather them up, but it's at Morning Stream, and we look forward to them. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the show. We're done. Wow. We're out. I know this hour thing is just, it's fast. It's out. Most other hour shows you do, like I don't know about you, but other shows I do that are an hour, they feel like an hour. This does not feel like an hour.
Yeah, I don't do any shows that are just an hour.
You're always long. That's true.
DMS Coverville from the Helicarrier. They're all long shows.
Yeah, nothing you can do about it. But we can tell you, if you want to visit us on the web at frogpants.com/TMS, that'd be great because links to everything we got going on are there, including store links and everything else. And a big thing about Nerdtacular, which you heard at the top of the show, please come. We'd love to see you. Did I mention that Double Clicks are performing? Well, they are.
Ooh, and Andrew Allen Trio.
Yeah, don't forget. That's going to be great. And plenty more to announce, so that's all coming up soon. Frogpants.com/TMS for that. You can email us at themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. We'll be back Monday with a whole new slate of shows for next week. And we really appreciate you guys being here live and to Hard Drive to listen to TMS PM today. All right, Brian.
Yes.
Did I miss anything? Anything you want to mention?
No, there was a Coverville Tonight posted right before this.
Oh, great.
Cover story for Maroon 5 and Heart, as well as me paying penance for all the Beatles questions I missed during my stint on the Experts game show.
Oh, that's right.
If you haven't checked out the Experts game show, the audio is a little rough because it's in this big room. And even though they had us mic'd up, for whatever reason, it sounds like they're using room mics. But go check it out. It's on YouTube. And you can see how I did.
All right. Down with that.
I think I represented well. It just, you know, I didn't have as many points as the other people.
Indeed. Great. Well, I have something I was going to share and I forgot what it was. Dang it. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. I'll save it for next week. It was something about Scott Fletcher and I can't remember what it is. Oh, no, I know what it is. I got a tweet earlier today as I was going through these.
Mm-hmm.
It says, I'm a brand new listener to TMS. I love the show, but I hate that Brian sounds like Scott Fletcher all the time. Do you
really
sound like Scott Fletcher?
I don't think I sound like Scott Fletcher. I kind of, you know, in the announcing thing, I do pull out an announcer voice.
Yeah, but that's more like, hey, what's going on? That doesn't sound like Scott Fletcher so much.
No, I don't think so. No.
All right. Well,
I don't try to.
Maybe that guy can email and clarify. No, that's all, you know, whatever. Don't go change.
Hey, my first piece of hate mail.
Exciting.
Yes.
This is big news. All right.
Glape
is right. Let's get out of here. Do you got a little musical number for us?
I do. This one's going out to Ken. This should have been on this was almost on last week's TMS PM. Hey, Slate and BuzzFeed, congrats on hitting your Patreon goal for an evening episode. I don't know if you still plan on playing cover requests in this format, but if you do, March 7th just happens to be my 30th birthday.
Yay.
In celebration, I'd appreciate if you could play a bluegrass cover from the Pickin' On series of Sweet Child of Mine. If you can't find that particular one, any bluegrass cover will do. Still love the show the love, though. Ken Cohen in Washington. So nice. Yeah, absolutely. Happy birthday 1 week late. Sorry about that. I missed this. But I do have that, and I will be happy to play it for you. This comes from the Pickin' On series, the Bluegrass Tribute to Guns N' Roses from 2007. It is Sweet Child of Mine.
Great. Well, here it is. And remember, next time you're out there and some greasy guy comes up to you from behind, taps you on the shoulder, and you turn around, say this.
Get away from me!
Oh. All right, here we go. It's Sweet Child of Mine. We'll be back next week. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you then.
Oh,
do we go? Where do we go? Where do we go now? Where do we go? Where do we go now? Where do we go? Where do we go now? Where do we go now? Where do we go? Where do we go now? Sweet child of mine.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
The Planet Man.